You got to know where this guy at all times. There he is again.
How about three in a row?
Going deep. That was cold blooded.
Another three.
No!
It's Tuesday, May 3rd. This is High Volume Shooter. My fault for missing y'all for what, a last week or two here. There haven't been any public podcasts. I've been grinding away on Patreon, trying to provide content for the different tiers and just provide value, man. It's like I'm a one-man team trying to make a network of content. So sometimes I just, what I want to let y'all know is moving forward next season, I have a plan to have a much more consistent YouTube/podcast. So there'll be video, audio, and it'll be more consistent headed into next season. But right now I'm scrambling around trying to provide content in different areas and all that. But we back, got some stuff to talk about. A lot of things have happened. Before we get into the games, though, I've been watching a lot of Inside the NBA, TNT Boys, which I do on a regular basis, right? But during the playoffs, it feels like we just watch a lot more. We get a lot more of Chuck, Shaq, and Kenny, right? And Ernie. I love how Shaq equates exact numbers to everything. Have you noticed that with Shaq, right? He'll be like, he's got to have 36, 12, and 4. If he scores 28, that's enough. They'll win. He's got to score 22 in this next half. I mean, Shaq's crazy with the numbers. It lets you know kind of some insight into in his playing days, probably how much he paid attention to his numbers. But the one thing that I want to warn, man, because look, the day that Kenny's legs come off running to the big board, Shaq and Chuck, they're going to feel so bad, because I feel like it's going to happen like when Forrest Gump was running and his braces came off. Only it'll be Kenny's legs, right? You remember when Forrest Gump, when he's running, he picks up speed and then the braces start coming off? Kenny's wheel's going to come off. They keep making him run to that big board, man. I'm nervous every time he does it. All right, I got a couple quick takes on a few of the teams here that were eliminated in this first round. The Utah Jazz. I said it in last week's Patreon pod. I'm out on Donovan Mitchell. I'm out on him. I'd rather have Rudy Gobert. Now at the Supermax, nah, I don't want either one of them at no Supermax, right? I think that Donovan is more to blame than Rudy in this failure. And there's a lot of blame to go around. You know, Mike Conley. Did I hear Draymond refer to Mike Conley as a legend yesterday on TV? Or was I tripping? But no, man, like, look, Donovan Mitchell, he says all the right things. But look at how he plays. He plays like an asshole. So I'm kind of on Rudy's side with this whole thing. And not that it matters whose side I'm on, but that's kind of how I feel about the Jazz. And then Quinn Snyder, you know, it wasn't too long ago that people thought he was one of the best coaches in the league. I don't know how that went so south. I will say that some of that defensive strategy, granted, we all understand how limited the personnel was. It's got to make you wonder about Quinn a little bit, right? I think we all wonder about Quinn's lifestyle at times, right? But I mean, some of the defensive stuff, it's like, Quinn, you went to Duke? I don't know. But yeah, so I think we all know the writing's on the wall. And the latest rumor is that Rudy said, it's me or him. And I got a question for y'all. You can at me on Twitter, Uncle Alchemy, or DM, you know, however you can get at me. My socials, message me on Patreon, my Discord. Who do you have more faith in? This is a tricky question here. Moving forward, you take them out of their environment now. Let's say they get traded or whatever it is. Moving forward, who has the better career, Karl Anthony Towns or Donovan Mitchell? I don't have an answer for you. That's why I'm asking y'all. I don't know. So let's move into the Wolves and talk about them a little bit here. D'Lo is who we thought he was. Benched in the closeout game. That's all you need to know. He was benched at the end of the game. Look, and here's the thing, man. D'Lo kind of has like a cult following, specifically amongst young hoopers, right? If you're a young hooper and you're a big D'Lo fan, you probably have some of his same tendencies on the court. I'm just saying. And what that leads me into is the resurgence of the role player. Over the last 10, 15 years, right, basketball has kind of gone away from role players and to the concept of everybody's got to be a five-tooler. Everybody needs a big bag and has to be able to do it all on the court, versatility. But you look at Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado, Alex Caruso, GP2. These are the type of players most young hoopers should be trying to mirror. Not Kyrie, not D'Lo. I think that we're headed towards a resurgence in these specialty guys, quote, role players, like true role players. And what I mean by that is players that are going to lean into being a role player rather than trying to develop into an on-ball player with all the skills and everybody wants to be the man. Nah, Herb Jones and those two youngsters out in New Orleans and Caruso started that GP2, they're just embracing their role. And that's what's letting them excel at it. Along with, you have to have the physical attributes, right? You got to have a high motor. You got to have some athleticism and some length. But I think moving forward, a lot of these kids coming out of college where it's like, look, man, don't try to be this run the offense through me guard or wing. Those positions are very limited, right? But you could find yourself with a role as a hustle guy who picks up 94 feet, dives for every loose ball, and just adds that to a team. So I love seeing that come back to the game. The Pels were impressive, right? The Pelicans, that was an impressive run through the play-in tournament and then pushing the Suns. Now, Willie Green crying at the end of that Game 6 was a very genuine moment, right? It was cool all the way up until the point where Monty started wiping the tears off his cheek. I was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, you know, it was genuine. It was cool, but it carried on a little longer. Like when the lip curled over, you know, I was like, oh no, Willie, my guy. No, jokes aside, Willie Green, impressive job. And I think, listen, man, I've slandered David Griffin on this podcast for the better part of 2 seasons. So I got to give him love. I gotta give David Griffin love for it. Hasn't always made sense along the way, but when you look at where the Pelicans sit today, shit, they in a pretty good spot. I mean, listen to Zion.
Eligible for extension this summer. If they offered you an extension, would you be willing to accept it?
Of course. Of course. I wouldn't be able to sign it fast enough.
But I bet you behind closed doors, this is how Zion was coming at him, though.
You mean you ain't got the money yet? Motherfucker, you best be coming up with my cash. Else, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Zion, I talk about Donovan Mitchell, you know, kind of saying all the right things. I feel like Zion do the same thing, man. I don't know. But yeah, man, the Pels, again, they, you know, you look at the young core, Willie Green, the chemistry, the CJ move was kind of weird when it happened. And then once you saw the chemistry with him and B.I., it was like, oh, okay, this is kind of a thing here, right? So, hey, man, if you're a Pels fan, you got to be excited about the future. Zion, he's going to sign, obviously, right? But then is he going to immediately make demands out? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. Let's just hope he gets in shape wherever he ends up. As far as the Nuggets go, it was an admirable series, right? I think everybody understands they're far from healthy, and so they're going to run it back, and yeah. Hats off for a competitive fight against the Warriors in that Round 1. Same goes for Toronto. I think everybody understands how young they are. It sounds like Nick Nurse is going to remain in Toronto and they're going to keep on building. And they're going to be in the mix for a long time with Majiri, Nurse, and their development system. Let's move on into these Game 1s here of Round 2. Starting with Boston and Milwaukee. Man, it's funny how one game can change the perception of the whole playoff picture, right? Because Boston just looks so dominant. And that's why I always use the saying, styles make fights, right? Because when another style comes in, the perception of things can change. And not even the perception, the reality of things can change. And the reality to me is, not only is Giannis the best player in the game right now, he's the best leader. Giannis is the best leader in the game. Now, credit the Bucks for putting the right type of players around him, right? Like, it definitely looked different with D'Lo out there, with Giannis, right? But no, man, he's humble, he's honest, and his intentions are clear to win. I know that sounds very simple, but it goes a long way. And then, you know, Lopez being back in the nick of time has kind of flown under the radar here with all the storylines in the playoffs, but I think that that's huge for him and his presence and his ability to just be in the right spots with that size. But look, Boston has shown to be resilient and tough, you know, but if Smart and Jalen aren't going to be who they can be, I don't know how they survive with more Pritchard and more Grant Williams. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't overreact too much to that game one. I think the fact that now Jalen and Smart don't look healthy, that's where you start to, if you're a Boston fan, to think like, oh man, this is just, we went from looking like we're going to cruise with no Middleton and the way we're rolling to now, it looks like y'all are kind of backed into a corner here. This looks tough against the champs. So I don't think it'll be as easy series for either team by any means. But again, if the war of attrition, you know, that's always the story. Warriors, Grizzlies, game one. The mantra for Golden State during the Steph Curry, Steve Kerr era, right, has always been play with joy. We play with joy. Sunday afternoon, the Warriors played with vengeance. They played with vengeance, right? I don't think the Warriors win that game without the Draymond ejection. Now, look, I don't want to go too deep into the refs and the conspiracies, and I'm not even going to call them theories. I shouldn't even call them conspiracies. I covered all that in the breakdown. I'll say two things. While the ejection was wrong, it's not surprising. This is how life works. You build up a reputation, and then you get treated as such. So I wasn't too surprised about that. But I do think that the scrutiny of the refereeing in that game one, you'd imagine the refs have to be better the rest of this series. Now, of course, there's going to be bang, bang, blown calls. I'm not saying that there isn't going to be another bad call that you don't get upset about. But you hope the NBA takes that crew off of that series. Now, the Warriors' hope was that they were going to back off the flagrant two call because now Draymond, he's 2 points away from a suspension. And I think most people feel like his antics back into the locker room didn't help. And then he goes potting about it that same night, right? And I would have just hoped that Steph or Andre or somebody would have gotten Draymond's ear after the game and been like, look, man, say less. Just say less right now. Just don't pod right now. Nothing good can come from it. You know, as far as Draymond doing this while he's playing, there's no way for this to end well for Draymond. As far as the podcasting while in the playoffs and playing the game. Now, it definitely is going to boost his podcasting career, no doubt. But eventually, he's going to put his foot in his mouth and it'll somehow give the perception that it impacted the team. And it may not happen this year. It may not happen during this playoff run. I'm just saying at some point, that's what'll happen. It is what it is. I get what he's chasing and all that. I'm not it's not that I don't get it. It's just that I wish he wasn't doing it. Now, someone had asked me what my take was after the game. Y'all saw T. Morant, Ja's dad, trying to schmooze with Steph and the Warriors after the game. And you saw Klay. Klay wanted no parts of dude. Klay walked by T like he was a panhandle. He's like, don't fucking touch me. But you know the saying, keep your friends close. And T. Morant, I think he's trying to disarm the Warriors. And you saw him do the same thing with Kat and his dad in the first round. Trying to play all nice and friendly with everyone, right? Meanwhile, Ja sticking the fucking dagger in your back. So, yeah, man, it's all friendly and smiles. I'll just say this. Look, ain't nothing wrong. I like sportsmanship and keeping it on the court. Ain't nothing wrong with being friendly, but save that shit for after the series. After game one, setting the stage for this super physical, intense series, he wants to chirp in people's ears and smile. No. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, does this game one change how I feel about this series? It does. To steal game one on the road is always big, right? But how it was done adds to it. You always need the context. And it was funny because both those game ones Sunday, it felt like, ooh, like this. They both felt like more than one win, right? But look, man, if Wiggs and GP2 can sustain this type of effort, I think that they'll be able to overcome the size and athleticism that had me and a lot of people iffy about this series, right? Had us concerned, you know, because Wiggs is still a relative unknown, at least on this stage, but it appears like he's turned up his effort level and his alertness. So if we're going to get this Wiggins, I think we all knew who GP2 is. It's just a matter of how many minutes he can stay on the floor. But if we're going to get this Wiggs sliding in and giving that, like being a hustle player, that can really sway things. I loved baiting Ja for the three ball, right? Because look, even if he makes some big ones, which he will, because, you know, he's a mind over matter type of player, even though he's not, quote, a shooter, he's a competitor. And that's like you see with Draymond, right? Like Draymond will hit a big three because he's a competitor. He's not a shooter. So he's going to hit some big ones. And he already hit four in that game. But it's fool's gold, right? We're tricking him. We're tricking the young team because not only does it keep him out of the paint, which means less fouls for us, it also means less shots for Desmond Bane. Now, with Jaren Jackson Jr., I'm not so sure you can just invite the three ball like that, right? It's like he has much more of a shooter's mentality than Ja. Like Jackson Jr. thinks of himself as a shooter. And so I don't think you will be able to psych him out behind the arc like you might with Ja at times. But at the same time, like it's kind of the same thing, right? You're keeping him out of the paint too. So I like that strategy. That said, game two tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if the Grizz roll us, you know, because it's got kind of going to be a all hands on deck type of game. You can't go down 2-0 at home, right? But I will say, I want to point this out. Looking at the lines, the Warriors are favored tonight in this game too. That smells real funny to me, man. You look at the refereeing in game one and now game two, I think the consensus amongst NBA fans would be like, all right, you probably give this one to Memphis, right? So for the Warriors to be favored tonight, who knows what type of funny business will go down. The one thing I would say, if you want to look ahead further into the series and possible adjustments, at some point, does Jenkins go back to Steven Adams and try to just overwhelm us with his size and offensive rebounding? Now, he was in, he's in COVID protocol right now, but you imagine he'd be made back available by the end of this series. I would guess, you know, Brandon Clark's been so good. But that I think that's the one chess move with his rotations where it's like, all right, we're just going to stick Steven Adams in here. Surprise. And he has like a 6 offensive rebound quarter that could sway a game. And so I think the Warriors have to be prepared for a surprise appearance from Steven Adams at some point in the series. But we got a long ways to go. But the start, I mean, whew, I think I'm still riding high from that game one. That was crazy. Now, Heat Sixers, it's hard to get excited about that series, right? That was capped off the games last night. And yeah, man, it's just hard. You know, shout out Tyler Hero. He's playing well and staying the course for his trajectory. One thing have you noticed with the Sixers, low key, Tobias Harris has quietly kind of raised his value throughout these playoffs if they want to try and trade him. He's kind of looked like a budget Paul George out there. Tobias has been playing well despite all the controversy around the Sixers. But yeah, I don't have much to say on that series. I want to move over to Dallas Phoenix, the nightcap last night. I think the biggest takeaway is Devin Booker looks right. He looks healthy. And so now the Suns look like they're back on schedule. But I think the spookiest thing about the Suns right now is if Ayton is going to be scoring this way, if they're going to get this type of aggressive offensive Ayton the entire playoffs, whew. You know, it's funny how things change just in one game, but right, don't all of a sudden Phoenix looks like the favorite that they have been all year again, especially with Booker whole. But Dallas lingers like a fart, right? They linger like a fart, right? They're as resilient as any team left in these playoffs. I'll tell you what though, Jason Kidd is an animal for leaving Maxey in the game after that fall. Like, what was that? Kid acted like it didn't even happen. Kleba got off the floor. He thought he was back in Germany. Like, that was nuts. And I don't want to make light of like the dude. He looks like he's going to be all right, but I can't believe they didn't like sub him out and check on him. They were concerned with Luka getting dinged up more so than that. So that was like some NFL type shit. But you know, 40, yeah, Luka had 46, crazy stat line. And again, Dallas is super resilient. I don't think the Suns are going to just roll over Dallas. They have too much fight. But you just saw a depth and talent discrepancy, right, after Luka. And so, I'd probably say Suns in six. I do have a cool special little treat for you all at the end, but I had an off topic here. I wanted to. Did y'all see the gala? Did y'all see the Met Gala shit? I know you did on Instagram and, you know, on internet last night, because there was a lot of famous people for the culture there. And we all have an Illuminati homie, right? We all have someone that's like super into the Illuminati, and they will tell you, if you're willing to listen, about some wild shit, right? Some satanic rituals and Hollywood sacrifices and shit like that. Now, I'll listen, but I was like, it's okay. It's like, all right, well, that's interesting, but but last night, looking at all those brothers in dresses, I couldn't help but think about my Illuminati homies that are like, listen, because that's just, I don't know where we're headed with this stuff, man, but it seems like there's definitely an agenda. I know that this isn't really my lane, but fuck it, it's my pod. I'll say what I want. Anyway, I got a special treat for y'all. One of my longtime patrons, Sierra, had sent me some clips from an interview with Jordan Poole's trainer. And this came from Urkel's Spaces. Gucci Belt Dell, I believe, is the handle on Twitter. He's an OG Warrior fan. So Urkel Spaces, and it looks like they're getting some interesting conversations in there. I'll lead in with Sierra letting us know a little bit about it.
What's up, Alk? Was part of a conversation in a Spaces with JP's trainer a few days ago, and he dropped some interesting bits in there. He said that after a game in Dallas this year, Steve Kerr sent JP a text saying that basically we're not going to hold you back anymore. You're the future of a franchise, future all-star. And after that, that's when JP started kind of going crazy. And he knows JP wants to win more than anything. So separately, on the contract situation, we know he can make a lot. You know, he thinks he deserves that supermax, but, you know, JP would be pretty happy with making 20 million, 25 million, but we'll see. He said something interesting about Wiggins leaving, like feeling like Wiggins is going to leave because him being an all-star and just the money he can make elsewhere, but we'll see on that. The things he worked on in the offseason were his free throw shooting and focusing on changing the arc of his shot. And the team specifically wanted him to work on 30 footers. So some things they did when he was free throw shooting, he would shoot some with his eyes closed, as well as shooting with his eyes closed on the three pointers to maximize muscle memory. They did some basic ball work with like heavy balls, some other stuff. I would love to be able to explain some other stuff. Some very interesting techniques he said that he used. He said he would get him to practice flat footed threes. And I think I mentioned before that he also would have him shoot threes with his eyes closed. He said using the heavy 3-pound ball helped speed up the process of muscle memory and building his senses with the dribbling hand work. Also, what I thought was very telling was you mentioned earlier in the year that Wiggins simplified his footwork and it allowed him to shoot better. Because JP was never a bad shooter, but he had horrible footwork leading into his shots. And the trainer mentioned how he would jump into his shots or do a little hop. But he broke down him giving some different techniques for his footwork leading into the shot, which you directly mentioned in a lot of the breakdowns. And we remember when that transition happened. So I just need y'all to know Alk knows what he's talking about. Because as soon as we saw that improvement, JP's numbers skyrocketed. But I would love for everyone to get to hear some of the full conversation that happened. So if you guys want the link to that Spaces, then just let me know in the comments and I can send you a link.
Listen to the people that are criticizing you. Those are the people that are going to help you become great. Because every time somebody tells you you can't do something, it's actually your job to prove to them that you can. You know what I'm saying? And that means you got to get better. what I'm saying?
Hey, Mark. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm thinking a lot of people kind of want to ask. I'm guessing, what is his mindset in terms of coming off the bench and starter? I mean, is that something that's a deal breaker for him in terms of his future with the Warriors and I guess like the playoffs coming up right now?
I mean, honestly, I know he loves starting. Like, who doesn't? I mean, it's hard to be a young player and then get pigeonholed, you know, as someone that comes off the bench. Because if you think about it, that's what happened to Jamal Crawford. And Jamal Crawford, they never released him from that stigma. You know, they made him come off the bench his whole entire career. They never really celebrated him like they should have. And he never really got the big payday like he should have had he been an NBA starter. You know, but he dealt with it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, Lou Williams. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, you know, I just don't think it's a good thing, especially for Jordan, especially when I know that, you know, he's destined for greatness. You know what I'm saying? Like, it holds him back mentally. You know, so I'm curious to see what Golden State is willing to do in the future. Are they willing to, you know, like, let Jordan go? Are they going to sign him to, you know, I was like thinking, man, they should sign him to a Supermax, but they probably can't afford that. You know what I'm saying? So Andrew Wiggins, I'm hearing he's going to leave. So I don't know. We'll see with that. But Jordan definitely, he wants to win more than anything because he actually knows that his value will go up if he wins and had this great season. So I think he's cool or whatever.
Mark, you heard that Wiggins is looking to leave, as in like just random rumors or from just credible people that you know, or?
Okay, so.
Am I blowing up your spot?
Mark, what you doing?
Look, what's going on, Mark?
I'm not saying what I heard, where I heard it from. I'm just going to say that think of the logic, right? So you're Andrew Wiggins. You made the All-Star team for the first time in your career. You know, I don't know that he'll ever get this kind of opportunity again to leave and get paid. You know what I'm saying? Because once you get that All-Star attached to your name, that's a bargaining chip. You know what I'm saying? And at a young age, guys don't really care that much about winning that championship. They care more about getting that big-ass check. Once you get that big-ass check, a couple of them big checks, then you start saying, you know what? I'm rich enough. Now I want to secure my legacy. And I think that's what, you know, Andrew Wiggins is thinking about. And that's what he should be thinking about. He should be trying to secure the bag first, legacy later. Because if you get hurt, like, think about it. DeMarcus Cousins never got that bag.
Yeah, that's sad.
He got the legacy. He won a chip, but he never got that bag.
Isaiah Thomas, too.
Never got that bag. Yeah, think about it. Never got that bag. Got hurt. And when you get hurt, nobody's going to give you that pity party and be like, oh, man, we sorry. We'll just give you $100 million anyway. Nah, never happened. You know? So
hopefully our owner just pays both of them, and, you know, that's the best case scenario.
Oof.
They printed money over there in Chase Center, man. Don't let them fool you, man. They printed money.
They already in the luxury tax or whatever.
Jordan is getting the bag. Like, he is getting the bag. Dude, Joe Lacob waited courtside for him to leave the court the other night before he was not going to leave the floor until he got dapped up by Jordan. He is giving him the bag.
You know, but you know what the bag is for Jordan? The bag for Jordan is 5 years, 181. That's his max. So I don't know.
Waits one more season, right? If he waits one more season, then he can hit the restricted free agent market, and then anybody can offer him, right, as much as they want, and that'll set the market.
Yeah. So,
we can extend him in the summer, which I think that's best for everybody for now, because we're talking, he's 23. If they give him 5 years, he's only going to be 28 when that contract runs out, Mark. And he's going to be at the peak of his powers, Mark, at 28. Like you said, we don't even know what he's going to be.
Exactly.
Jeez, I am so excited to see where this kid goes, man.
He's not going to be he's not going to wait to be an unrestricted free agent. That's too risky because, like we talk about, you know, you don't want to get that injury or whatever and then go into a season without a contract and got to go into the summer hoping they sign you and all that. They're gonna offer him. And then he's with a really good agency in CAA. So they're gonna offer him something. $100 million is good for him. If he get $100 million, you know, because I know they were offering like 70 before. If he can get 100, that's amazing.
I mean, I think he's worth a little more than 100 at this point, to be honest. I think he's played his way to like maybe 5 year 160. I think, you know what I think, Mark? I think whatever Tyler Hero's contract gets, I think he's going to get the same type of contract.
No, he's got to get more. He's got to get more because he's already proven starter. Tyler's not a starter for Miami.
Well, yeah, you know, that's a funny thing because he has a running like little competition with Tyler. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, is it a
drip competition?
Nah, it's you know, they're both from Wisconsin. They played AAU ball together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, in other spaces they were trying to say that, you know, Tyler was better than Jordan. I was like, are you crazy? I mean,
how upset is Jordan that he was not like in the most improved category? I mean, it's insane that he was not, right? That he's not even in the top three.
No. He don't care. So we're creating our own category. It's called Most Improved Paycheck. Okay, that's the category he wants to be in for next year. He wants that award, Most Improved Paycheck. Three shooters on the floor at the same time, and two guys setting pin down screens for them from different angles. So they'll have plays where, you know, he'll act like he's running up the sideline, and he'll cut right in the middle of the court. You know what I'm saying? And take a long three. Like they have so many movements, and it's all pin downs. And one of the things that I wanted to change was sometimes he'd hop into his shot when he's getting a dribble handoff or whatever. And we change that into more of a rhythm 1-2 step. So if you notice, Steph uses that 1-2 step into every, he steps into 1-2 every shot. You know what I'm saying? So you watch Jordan, he'll do the same thing. Klay is unique in that Klay can do that step into his shot with 1-2 and he can hop into his shot. So he's super unique. You know, very few people can do that. Some people have to do it one way. Klay can do it both. But playing off the ball, the footwork, was so important. You know what I'm saying? And that's what really helps his shot a lot.
A particular area or component of his game that he could improve, offense or defense alike?
I mean, he could always get better defensively. He's definitely going to get better passing the ball. Because now that he realized that he actually can pass the ball, and he's a willing passer, and the game comes a little easier to him. But he's definitely going to, you know, need to increase his athleticism because as a guard in this league, even though he's a shooter, you know, you want to have your athleticism up so you can actually defend a little bit better. I think next year he's going to have a bigger bag because he actually didn't want to get a bag. He didn't want to have a lot of moves and so forth. With Jordan, he wanted to, you know, master the sets and the movement. So Golden State actually sent one of their assistant coaches up to the gym with us this summer. Last summer to watch our workouts, to kind of show me a couple things they did. And it's funny because I actually gave him a couple movements that would help the Golden State Warriors offense move, and I actually used it. So one of the things I told them was the guys on the wings, they need to go as far down on the baseline as possible. You can damn near have 1 foot out of bounds. And I'm like, well, why? Because if you're defending that guy, usually as a defender, you have to be able to see ball and man at the same time. So the further down he goes, the closer to the side, to the baseline he is, the further down that defender has to be, and he has to stay home on his guy in case his man, his teammate get beat. You know, he has to make the decision to step over or to stay on his man. If he's that deep on the baseline, he can't get over there in time. Or he can't see his guy who he's supposed to be seeing ball man, where his guy can cut back door, or he can lift up and curl into a shot or into a dribble handoff, and he won't be able to get to him. So, I mean, those movements and stuff like that are really what makes Golden State great. Like, they don't run no plays. It's strictly pin down, pin down, pin down, pin down from all angles. So the handle that he's going to have next season is going to be better than what we've seen Steph do. When Steph handles the ball, Steph does a lot of like double moves when he's really getting into his thing. Jordan will have, you know, more of the hesitation type movements where he'll go. If you notice, the big change in his game is that he's added the in and out. He's added the hesitation
in and out. To his dribble.
And that's like my staple. That's like one of my favorite moves of all time. So that was the big thing, is being able to hesitate and go. And his understanding that to hesitate, all you got to do is bounce the ball hard and just let it stop on the top of your hand and then go. Or bounce it hard, let the ball come back to your hand, look up, they're going to lift up, you can go by him. So it's simple things, man. So his handle is going to be even better next year because now he understands how to use these movements. So now I can really take his handle to a different level, you know what I'm saying? And his ability to not waste movements. So with Golden State, they want you to be able to do something within 2 seconds or less. Catch the ball, shoot it, or pass it.
So that was dope, man. Again, big shout out to Sierra and Urkel Spaces, URKLE Spaces. Go check them out on Twitter. It looks like they're having some good basketball talk. Yeah, man, I mean, the footwork thing to me was glaring, right? And the flat-footed stuff is interesting and some of the weight ball stuff. My fear when I'm training or doing something like that is how much muscle memory. You don't want to – there are little tricks that you can use that are kind of like breaking the fundamentals of a shot. You just don't want to hardwire that. You don't want that muscle memory to set in, so you have to limit how often you do that. But, I mean, it's a balancing act. And most of these trainers, like for me, I'm kind of a shot guy. I kind of specialize in shot mechanics and footwork. I'm not really a ball handling dude. And most of these trainers are going to lean into one area or another. But of course, they're going to tell you they can train you in all aspects. So what I would say is stay fresh. Like you see it in MMA and boxing where they'll change camps after a while. So sometimes at a certain point, a trainer can only take you so far. And that's no shade to this dude. This dude, he sounds like he knows what he's doing. I'm just saying eventually you may want to get the insight from a trainer that specializes in different aspects of the game. You don't want trainers to cause a divide between the player and the team, right? And you see that he's all about JP. It ain't about being a teammate or the Warriors. It's about JP getting his money and him being the best player. So I didn't love the six-man stuff as far as like putting it in Jordan's head that it's bad for him. I don't know if you necessarily do that. I think you'd probably want to use a little more finesse, you know? And so, yeah, man, again, not trying to throw shade. Clearly, this dude is a good trainer because look at Jordan's progress. I'm not saying that. I'm talking more just about the overall perspective of these trainers. You want to take advice. Ultimately, big picture career advice, you want to take it from a loved one or someone that's not on your payroll. So I hope y'all enjoyed that snippet. Go check them out on the spaces, and we'll be back with another episode here soon. This is High Volume Shooter. I'm out, y'all.